good morning. As I said, next week is Christmas, and one of the Christmas presents that I got early this year was the fact that we have completed our four-year project of reading through the Bible. We have come at last to this week, which is the first week in which we have no scripture to read. I mean, we still have scripture to read, but required assigned. So for some of us, we've been very faithful in our reading through the scriptures. For some others, we have been beaten down. And we feel as if we have lost pace and we haven't gotten through all of the Bible. For others, we've missed some and have caught back up, or maybe we're still catching up and we have or will finish the task. But for all of us, I think there are things that we have learned over the past 4 years that will stick with us for the days to come. There are things we've read in the Bible that we didn't know were there. For some of us, we have found out that there were things we thought in the Bible that really aren't there. But I think that we can all safely say that we have learned along the way. And I can't wait for 3 weeks when we get together to share those things that we've learned. I'm looking forward to hearing some of those stories, because that is something to celebrate. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at where we've been over the past 4 years.
It's time to talk about what we learned today.
Bamboo, bamboo, bamboo.
You see, we know that God's word is for everyone. And now that our song is done,
time to talk about.
Okay. Thank you for that. So here's what we read over the past 3 years. Now we're not going to go over every list that we went through over the past 3 years. That would take a day and a half, probably. But we began, obviously, in the beginning. And that was Genesis. We looked at creation, Noah, the Tower of Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That took us from January 1st to February 4th of 2018. That's a long time ago. Then we talked about the rescue in the book of Exodus, Moses, and the first moments of the Israelites out of Egypt. That brought us from February 5th to March 4th. Then we looked at the law, and my initial plan for going through the law was 2 weeks, tops. But as I began to read it, I realized that it would be a lot for us to get through all of Leviticus in 2 weeks. So we were in Leviticus, which is the Jewish law code, festivals, and dietary restrictions, from March 5th to April 22nd. So for a month and a half, we were in the book of Leviticus. So you're welcome. Then we saw the rebellion in the book of Numbers, Israel's failure at the border of Palestine, and the wanderings and more laws given to them. April 23rd to June 3rd, still in 2018. Then we read the second reading, the book of Deuteronomy, which was the second reading of the law and the retelling of the law to the people who were about to enter the promised land. And that took us from June 4 to July 22nd. Then we looked at the conquest, the book of Joshua, where we saw Israel come in and occupy Canaan. That was July 23rd to August 19th. And then the cycle, Judges, right? Remember that cycle of the people of God following him, and then they chase after idols, and then God gives them into captivity or oppression. They call out to God for help. God delivers them through one of the judges. They follow God, and then they do it all over again. This took us from August 20th to September 30th. Then we went through the history of Israel, all right? History of Israel from Ruth all the way through the book of Esther, all right? So this includes Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. We got through 9 chapters of 2 Samuel by the end of that first year, and so that was October 1st to November 18. We broke for Christmas, and in that first year, 2018, we read 292 chapters of the Bible that year. Okay, so a good year. Then we picked it up again in January 1 through June 23, 2019. Then we went through the poetry books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. That took us through January to June, right? And then June 24 to November 17. And then again, we broke for Christmas in 2019 after the poetry books. This year, we read 402 chapters of the Bible in 2019. So you almost, well, not quite, but you a lot more verses. But of course, we were reading Psalms. A lot of them are short, except for 119. Then we went through, in 2020, we went through the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. That took us from January 1 to July 26th of 2020. Then we went through the minor prophets, which took us through the rest of the year. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Those are some, there's a lot of words there, a lot of names, but these are the people that we looked at, that we studied, we talked about July 27th to November 8th. Once again, we broke for Christmas. We read 308 chapters of the Bible that year. Then this year, we went through the Gospels, January 1 to March 28. We looked at the history of the church in Book of Acts, March 29 to May 2. Then we looked at Paul's letters from Romans to Philemon, May 3 to October 3. Then we looked at the general letters, Hebrews through the Book of Jude, October 4th to November 14th, and then we looked at that final prophecy in Revelation last week from, we finished it last week, November 15th through December 12th. We didn't break for Christmas because of some hiccups in the scheduling and canceling church services a couple of times. But here we are, December 19, having read 193 chapters of the Bible this year. All told, friends, you and I have read 1,195 chapters of Scripture over the last 4 years. Yeah, it's something to celebrate for sure. We went through some successes. We went through some failures. We had good talks about certain things and not so fun talks about other things. We've gone through some mountains and valleys over this past 4 years. We've dealt with some things within our church that have been struggles for us. I know many of you and your families and in your own personal lives have dealt with struggle over the past 4 years. We've welcomed new people into our church. We've seen some people leave. But all of these things that we have done together, I want to remind you, is not by the power that any one of us here possesses. It's not because your pastor is somebody great, because he really isn't. All of this is not by the power of us, it's by the power that God possesses and that He has given to us. It's by His hand and by His will that we stand here today, completed in the task that we set forth in 2018. And so we rejoice in that, right? Well, at least I hope we do. So if you made it through and read all almost 1,200 chapters of Scripture, congratulations to you, okay? If you're not done quite yet, congrats to you for making it as far as you did. And keep going. Don't stop now, right? In fact, I want to share a passage for you. This is our Scripture passage that we're going to kind of, we're not necessarily going to look at it, but Jesus has something to say to His disciples here in John chapter 13 that is absolutely, I think, super important. And, well, let's read it together. John 13, 1 through 17. Will you please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word as we read this together? Here we go. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Him. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words through Jesus to us here at this moment in time when he is preparing to go to the cross to pay the final sacrifice for our sins. He is thinking not of himself, but of his disciples. And he sets them an example, Lord, that we should be following. But Lord, ultimately, the words that Jesus speaks at the end of that discourse is immensely important for us. Because, Lord, we have come to the last words of the Bible, and we have read them, and we know them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn what it is that you mean when you say, "Now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth this morning would not be my own, but that they would be yours, that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished today. And we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what we just read were some very profound words. And the actions of Jesus, he says, are an example for us. They were an example of the way that God serves you and I. He doesn't lord his might and power over us. He is the humble king. He is the one who has given us his word for the express purpose that we might know him better. That's one of the reasons why I felt the Lord wanted us to walk through the book together. This is why we read his word. This is why we've read his word over the past 4 years. This is why we look at his word every week here in our service times together, and hopefully each day as we read it on our own. And friends, just let me encourage you that just because we're done reading through the Bible as a church, I'm not done preaching it. All right? I'm not going to stop because I believe it. And I believe that what this book has to say to us is what's best for us. So as we have completed this monumental task, we need to ask ourselves the question that's the title of our message this morning: what now? Right? Have you ever completed something? Like, I remember when Cindy and I were dating and we were thinking about, I mean, we were engaged and we were planning the wedding and all of this, and we got married, and it was kind of like through all of that effort to get to that point, it was like it was done, and now what now? Well, now the wedding is over and marriage starts, right? The hard work begins. We've gotten through it. We've read it. What now? God, we know now what God has said. We now know what God has not said. We have had some curveballs thrown at us as we've read through this. Some things that we were like, whoa, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Whoa, okay, well, what do I do with that? Right? We've kind of stepped through some of that stuff. But the enemy has tried to get us to veer off this mission. But here we are. Successful? Well, in finishing the task of reading through it? Yes. But in finishing the mission that it presents to us? Never. So, what now? Well, a couple of things I want to say, first of all, is I want to talk about what we could do with this. Right? There's some things we could do with this. We could pat ourselves on the back. Right? And say, wow, we've arrived, man. We've read the Bible. Well, that's great. You know, there's at least one person in this congregation this morning who's probably read it, what did you tell me, 35 times?
15.
Okay, I was giving you more credit than you deserve. But you know what? We're here. We've read the Bible. We could start patting ourselves back and say, man, what a wonderful thing this was. And yes, it is a wonderful thing to read through the entire Bible. It is a wonderful, great thing. But if we focus on that, that leads us to pride. And as we've read about many times in this book, pride is not a good thing. We need to do away with pride. Another thing we could do is just forget about it. we could let the seed sown over the past 4 years just be eaten up by the birds, right? We could totally forget all that we've learned over the past 4 years. And now I hope that none of you take that option. Or we could put it into action. Write this reference down. James 1:22. We're going to come back to it a number of times. In fact, if you have your Bible open there, because I want you to see what James has to say to us, what God has to say to us through James here. Chapter 1 and verse 22. Listen to what he says. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Right? We could take what we've learned. We can put it into action in our own lives. James tells us, be doers, not just hearers. We could take the challenges, the application points, and the very words of God Himself personally and make it a vital part of our lives. Right? So as we look at this list, there's a number, and again, not an exhaustive list, but these are some things that we could do with the words we've read over the past 4 years. But the question then becomes, what should we do with it? Fortunately, I have a few recommendations for you. So here are some things that we can do with what we've read this year. First of all, we can remember it. All right? Now, what do I mean by that? Just, you know, oh yeah, I remember reading that. No. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 say this. He says, now let me get there. Psalm chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Now that you have read the Bible, I want you to commit those things that impressed you as you read to memory. It's a way that God will take His Word and make it come alive to you. Because once you've memorized it, you can do what David did with the Scriptures, right? What does he say? That the one who delights in the law of the Lord meditates on that law day and night. All right? I want you to meditate on it. Now that word meditation, it can scare people. And I don't want it to scare you, because ultimately, meditation is something that will help you become the person God wants you to be. When we talk about meditation in Scripture, it isn't just sitting in a yoga position chanting it over and over again. All right? although that might be comforting. The idea here is of a cow. Now, I'm not calling anyone a cow or a heifer right now, okay? Please don't hear me say that. But bovines, what they do is they have different stomachs. And when a cow eats and they swallow, it goes into the first stomach and it's digested for a while. And then they do something really gross, and I apologize if, you know, you're looking forward to lunch. But they regurgitate the food that's in that first stomach. And they bring it back into their mouth and they chew it again. You know, I'm kind of glad God created us with just one stomach. I remember when we were, giraffes do this too. If you ever go to the zoo and the giraffes have just eaten, sit and watch their throats, because you will see it go down, and after a while it will come back up and they'll chew it again, and then you'll see the little lump go down their whole neck. It is really cool. Anyway, I digress. But the idea of meditation is just that you memorize it, you take in God's word, and then you bring it back to mind again, and you think about it again and again and again and again. And one of the things that I love about studying God's word is being able to wring out meaning out of God's word over and over again. And the more we read it, the more we do that, the more it we're able to apply to our own life. But as we bring those things that we remember up again and we think about them, this is how God is going to help us become the people He wants us to be. It's the method that he's given us to do it. Now, look at the description here in Psalm 1, that the person who meditates on the law of God all the time is like a tree planted by water. Trees planted by a river or stream or by a lake, they grow tall. They grow strong. Why? Because there is a constant source of water for them. We looked last week at the end of Revelation that the invitation is for us to come and drink of the water of life. And friends, the words of God that we read day after day after day, or that we've read in the last 4 years, this is life-giving to us. And as we meditate on it, as we think about it, it's like being planted into it, and we will become everything that God wants us to be. We'll yield fruit in season. Our leaves will not wither. Look at this word. Look at this word from God. Whatever they do prospers. I'm just going to let that sit there. So we should remember it. We also should share it. Hebrews 10:25. We're going to be jumping all over the Bible today. So hopefully you got your Bible drill fingers ready to go here. Look at what it says here. Verse 25 of chapter 10. I got to take my glasses off so I can see it. Look at this. Actually, let's jump back to verse 24 to get context here. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D, approaching. That's the end of time, right? That's when Jesus comes back. We need to share these things. We need to consider how, with what we have learned from the Scriptures, we can encourage other people to grow in their faith. We need to give these things that we've learned to other people. You're going to have a great opportunity to do that in 3 weeks. So be thinking about the things you've learned and be ready to share your biggest takeaway from the last 4 years. And friends, if you have something else going on January 8th, please cancel it. Be here. I want this to be the one time where every member and attender of this church shows up. I want you to be here. Ask if you have to work on Saturday night, ask for it off. I think it's that important. But not only do we give the things together or give things to that we've learned to each other, but we also need to get together, right? It's part of what this verse says. It's a verse that's been thrown around a lot in the last 2 years about meeting together. And I think it's important because we need to, I mean, how can you share it with each other without being together. I mean, well, I can share it on Facebook. Great, great. Yeah, do that. That's great. But there's something about sitting down with someone else and saying, this is what God has taught me about this verse or about this passage or about what God was doing here in the Old Testament or in New Testament or in Book of Acts or whatever. There's just something about being together and sharing those things. And lastly, part of that sharing is when you receive something from someone else, pass it on. Pass on what you are learning from other people to other people. And then the message gets out there, right? But the third thing we should do with this is what we've already talked about. We need to live it out. James chapter 1, verse 22 again. Put it into action as we've already stated. Allow the Word of God to become a part of who you are. In other words, allow the things that God is teaching you to become exposed to the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that's up on a hill cannot be hidden." You can't hide a city on a hill. Neither, Jesus goes on to say, do people light a candle and put it under a bowl. It's kind of dumb. Sorry. Any of you who do that, I apologize for calling you dumb. But it is kind of dumb because the purpose of a candle is to give light. And when you put something over it that hides the light, what's that about? When we allow God to become a part of who we are and that begins to get exposed to the world, here's what's going to happen to you. And this is a warning from your pastor to you. People are going to call you crazy. They're going to call you a fanatic. They're going to call you a fundamentalist. They might even call you a terrorist. They may call you a criminal. A day may come when they might call you public enemy number one. But as we read in 1 and 2 Peter, if we're going to suffer, suffer for being a fanatic for Jesus. But no matter what we suffer, no matter what we face, it will be worth it, friends. Remember what we talked about last week? That the reward of all of this pain and suffering we go through on this earth, it's not heaven, although heaven's awesome. It's not the New Jerusalem, although that's going to be awesome. What's the reward? He is our reward. So this is what we should do with it. Now, how do we do that, right? How do we do that? Well, let me give you three practical steps that you can take to help yourself become more committed to these things. The first thing I want you to do is to continue reading it. Now, I know that seems like duh, but keep on reading it, right? You've read it, great, but keep on reading it. Psalm 119, 105 says what? Your word, O God, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. As you read God's word, continue to read God's word, it will light your... And the thing about these two words, light and lamp, here's what it has to do. The lamp shines maybe a foot, two at the most, in front of you. The light for your path helps you understand what road you're on. So this is what David is saying when he says, your word is a light to my... A lamp for my feet and a light for my path. First of all, the light for our path helps us to know which way we're going. Right? There was an Air Force pilot who did some math. I did not do this math like last week. I trust the person that I got this from. But there was an Air Force pilot who did some math, and he said that for every 1 degree an airplane is off course, you will miss your targeted landing spot by 92 feet for every mile you fly. Let's put that into perspective a little bit. Let's say you took off from JFK in New York and you were flying to LAX in California. And as you got up to speed, as you got up to the height that you were going, you are one, just one, one, do you know how much 1 degree is? It's about like that. 1 degree off of your course. You would miss California, or LAX, you would miss it by 40 miles. We want to stay on the right path. And when we get off track, we need to course correct. Because if we get off track and we allow ourselves to stay off track, after a year or two, where are we going to find ourselves? 40 miles, 100 miles, 1,000 miles off course. When we read God's Word every single day and remember it and share it and live it out, it will keep us on track. If you've completed reading the whole Bible, great. Read it again. See if you can beat Randy. 15 times. There are so many, listen, there are so many more things that you missed the first time you read it through. And I think Randy will say that even after 15 times, there are still things that come out from God's Word, because God's Word is living and active. It does not change, but it changes us. I love the... we need to get going. Next thing, next practical step. Write down what God says through it. Okay? Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to turn there. But this is the time when the Israelites, the priests, stepped into the Jordan, and the Jordan River was stopped up miles ahead so that the river stopped flowing, and then the nation was able to cross at that spot on dry ground. The company gets across the river, after they cross the river, Joshua says to the elders of Israel, he says, I want you to go down into the river where the priests are standing holding the ark, and I want each of you to grab a stone. And we're going to, where we camp tonight, we're going to pile them up. We're going to build them up so that this will be a monument to what God has done. So that, and Joshua even says, so that when your children ask you, why are these stones piled up here? You will tell them what God did for you here at the Jordan River. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to keep a journal. Some of you already do. Way to go. Others are like me. Maybe we have in the past, but we've kind of gotten out of the habit of doing it. I want to challenge you to go through the scriptures again. Maybe just a chapter a day. Now, again, a chapter a day is going to take you 3 years to read through that whole thing. If you do one chapter a day, right? Because it's 1,200 chapters, 365 days a year, maybe 3 years, you can get through it in three. But here's the point. Read the chapter. Write something down that God speaks to you about. Whatever God is telling you, there's some things that you're going to read and you're going to look at it and you go, you know what? This is what God is saying to me. And the next time you come through it and you read it again, you're going to say, man, you know, this time God's telling me this over here, which is, it sometimes seems totally separated, but it's there and God will speak to you. And then go back and reread the things that you've put in your journals and see how God is leading you along the way. A, it's an encouragement to you. And B, when you're gone, it'll be an encouragement to your kids or your grandkids. I told you a few weeks ago about the Bible that my dad gave me that belonged to my grandfather. And his notes are in the margins, right? He wrote all over that thing. It's really hard to read it, the Bible, because he did so much marking in it. But it's a blessing to me to see the things that God was teaching my grandpa. And the things that maybe as I look at that and I go, you know, I never thought about it that way. Write it down. I'm challenging you right now. Keep a journal. Okay? And thirdly, something we've already talked about, share it with those around you. Here's what happens when we share it. Okay? It reminds us of what God has taught us. It solidifies what God has taught us. And it encourages others to help them know what God might be telling them through you. Here's the thing, right? as we live out the gospel, as we live out the Bible, as we live out the truth of God's word in everyday life, and as we share it with the people around us, God begins to use you as a living word, if I can be so bold. And that's why it's important for us to share those things and stay in God's word constantly and to stay on that path and not get off track. So let me challenge you with three questions. First of all, what will you do? It's an easy question, but it's also a hard question. What will you do now with God's word? Will it become a chore for you? Will you get up in the morning and go, oh man, I got to read a chapter of the Bible? Will it become a forgotten experience for you? I hope not. Or will it become a passion deep within you that will guide you for the rest of your life? There was a man who his whole life was colorblind. Never saw colors, was never able to appreciate colors. Everything he saw was in black and white. Everyone around him was telling him how wonderful colors were, but he could not perceive it. His eyes just couldn't do it. One day, he went to his eye doctor. His eye doctor told him of a place that could possibly help get him a pair of glasses that would help him to see colors. Well, he thought it was worth a shot. And so he went to this place that the doctor told him about. He walked into the lobby and he looked around and he saw the drab pictures on the wall. One wall was a mural of a rainbow, but again, he didn't appreciate it because of his condition. He sat in the lobby and he waited for his name to be called. Eventually it was. He went back and he sat down in a room and the doctor came in. He looked at the man and he said, I want you to put these glasses on and I want you to know that what you see may be a bit overwhelming at first, but give it some time and let's see what happens. The man took the glasses, he put them on, and as he looked through them, the most amazing thing happened to him. He was able for the very first time to see the colors all around him. He began to weep as he looked at the colors of the walls and the chairs, the doctor's shirt and tie and the filing cabinet, all of it. It was just so much beauty that he never knew was there. He went into the lobby and those once drab pictures began to take on new significance as he looked at the rainbow and this time stood in awe of the wonder of what he saw with his own eyes. As he pulled into the driveway of his home, though, he noticed that there were many things that needed to be updated. He thought, perhaps not all of what I'm seeing is something that I want to see. But it did show him where he needed to get to work and fix things in his life that had been left for too long because he just couldn't see it. He went inside and he saw his wife and children in living color for the first time. He was amazed anew at her beauty and fell in love with her all over again. His children were more happy and more vibrant than ever, and in a very real way, his life had completely changed because now he could see what was really all around him. Those things hadn't changed. They were still the same. But the way that he saw them did. Friend, God's word are those glasses. That when we take God at His word, when we begin to see the world the way God wants us to see the world, it will change our perspective. We'll be able to appreciate things more the way God sees them. We'll notice the things in our lives that we have left for far too long that need to be fixed. We'll see the people in our lives in a new and different way. And truly be able to love them the way God wants us to. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples that we read earlier. Now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So, what will you do? Second question, where will you go? Now, that sounds like a weird question for what we've been talking about, but stick with me for a second. Jesus said that we are to make disciples as we went, right? So where will you go with God's word? Will you go to a distant land to tell those who have never heard? Maybe. Will you go to the coffee shop and share with those people there the word of God? That might be more doable. Will you talk to your friends about Jesus at McDonald's when you go to McDonald's? When you have your morning coffee? Will you go to the fair, to the sporting event, to the open house, or anywhere else and tell the people there about Jesus? Listen, it doesn't matter where you go, but it does matter that you are making disciples wherever you go. Remember that Jesus told his disciples, as you go, make disciples, and we're to go. And as we're going to see Friday night, there's a phrase that will be used, and it's this: people must know. We live in a world where so many don't even know who Jesus is. They don't know the love that God has for them. They are walking around like the colorblind man, not even realizing the beauty and the glory that is all around them. But they must know. And they can know. If you and I take the commission of Jesus seriously, we will be the ones who share this message to the world. We will be the ones who help the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the dumb to shout out the praises of the living God. But we must go. We must go to where people are. If all we do is stay in our homes and in the church, what are we accomplishing? The answer? Nada. Zip. Zilch. Nothing. We have been called by God to preach the gospel. Yes, I said it. Preach the gospel. And when we have seen what that gospel is, we have understood it from Genesis to Revelation. There's no turning back, because now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. My final challenge to you is this: be a doer, not a hearer. James 1, 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, listen, this is what Jesus said, they will be blessed in what they do. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. This is where commitment becomes real. As my kids like to say, it's getting real up in here. Okay? This is something that we need to remember. This is something that if we grab a hold of it and understand it and actually take God's word and put it into practice, that it is going to change everything. Everything. Friends, we've been through a lot in the past 4 years. We faced many things in our country. We faced some things in our own church, in our community, in our families, in our businesses, on our farms. And in all of this, God is waiting for an invitation to invade. If you have never allowed Him access into your life, what are you waiting for? God is here. God is waiting. And He will change you if you let His Word dwell in you. If you let His Word become your only source for truth. If you decide to walk in obedience to His Word. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just saying, you know what, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's okay. That's okay. Friends, I want you to understand that God has come in the person of Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Jesus as a baby, born in a manger so that He might save His people from their sins. We have to start there, right? We have to start with our sin. And when we get serious about our sin and ask Him and confess it, He forgives. And we can be right with God then. But we have to admit our sin. We have to believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. Son of God. The only one who could have died in our place, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus died and took your place so that you wouldn't have to die, I mean. Jesus came to take our place, to die for us, but even more than that, to rise again, conquering sin, conquering death, so that we might live forever with Him. Friends, if you have never admitted your sin and called on the name of the Lord and believed in who Jesus claims to be, I want you to do something with me right now. I want you to pray a prayer. Now listen, there's no magic formula to this prayer. There's nothing, it's not a magic spell. The words mean nothing, but the attitude of your heart means everything. And if you're here today and you want to begin a life with Christ, just say something like this. Again, as I said, the words aren't as important as the attitude of your heart, but say something like this. Lord, I know that my life has disappointed you because I am a sinner. And Lord, I know that the things that I have struggled with and the things that I have tried to be and the places that I have tried to go to satisfy my longing for you have just disappointed you. And it disappointed me. And I admit that. And I believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe that He is the sacrifice once and for all for my sin. And Lord, I ask that You would take the death of Jesus and put it to my account so that I might be forgiven of my sin. I call on Jesus to be my substitute. And Lord, I want to follow You for the rest of my life. Now, if you prayed something like that this morning, I want to promise you something. God has heard your prayer. And God, if you meant it in the depths of your heart, you are now a new person. You are not the same person you were when you walked in here this morning. You are now right with God. You are now His son, His daughter. You have been adopted into His family. You now share some very amazing things with Jesus. But most importantly, you now have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that Spirit will help you live. It will help you live out the truth of His Word. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today, once again. Read your Bible. Share it with others. Live it out. And when you do, remember the words of the angel to Mary and Joseph. Don't be afraid. God is with you. And He will most surely do that which He promised. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the words that we have read in the Bible this morning. Lord, I pray that as we put Your Word into practice, that You will show us how blessed we are as we look into Your Word and as we look at the things that need to be changed in our lives, and as You begin to mold us and to shape us into the person that You want us to be, I pray that You would help us to not neglect Your Word, to not neglect sharing it, studying it, looking at it, and living it out. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to do what You have asked us to do, so that we might receive what You have promised us. Lord, You will never leave us or forsake us. Your Word is forever. You have said, Jesus Himself said, that heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. And so, God, help us to live by it, to know it, to keep on reading it, to keep on studying it, to keep on writing out the things that You're telling us, and to live them out. As we go, as we share, as we live. Amen.